You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. We got the local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Wednesday and Boomer's on the board. Don't play it yet, Boomer. I see you reaching for the button.
I was just excited.
You know, we got to intro it, man. You can't just sling it out there. We got people that wait for that.
I know, but I was waiting for it.
We've had people text in before and say, "You forgot the camel."
Yeah.
All right. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. Play it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
I love it.
It's still like one of my favorite moments every week. We get to play that stupid camel. But I don't know why he's so funny, but it's always cracked me up.
It's just great.
Here's what it was. Whoever made that commercial was just like spot on. They should have gotten a bonus. Bonus. In the meantime, let me move over to my opening comments. So here's the deal. Sometimes I see a story that's making the rounds on national media, and it like immediately galvanizes some thoughts and activity for this show. Other times I see a story and I find it to be something that I don't want to waste my listeners' time with, especially if it's speculative or if it involves having to stoop to some kind of low level to do the story. Well, recently the story broke on national news that Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, was attacked in their San Francisco home, which resulted in him being hospitalized, and I'm sorry to hear that. I have deliberately avoided that story for several days. I have nothing for the Pelosis, no fondness at all, but neither do I make it a point to just point fingers and issue insults. So while the story is interesting to me personally, I have chosen to leave it off the show, that is, until last night, when the reporting took a new shift. I looked at Charlene and said, well, I know what tomorrow's monologue is going to be. Because here's the deal. What happened right here in Alabama with Roy Moore is exactly the opposite of what is happening now with Pelosi. You see, I still bear the battle scars from being as in the thick as you can be without being an actual party to Roy Moore's incredibly overblown and much ballyhooed candidacy for the U.S. Senate in 2017. Let me lay the foundation here first. Last week, the story broke that Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, 82 years old, was at home in San Francisco. Nancy was apparently in D.C. From initial reports, the San Francisco Police Department responded to a call to the Pelosi's home at roughly 02:30 in the morning, basically the middle of the night. So upon arrival, the first media reports indicate that an unnamed individual opened the door. So we know it was not a dynamic forced entry. But as they entered, the police apparently witnessed the 82-year-old Paul Pelosi and another man named David DePappy. They were struggling with each other, and both men were trying to grab a hammer. And both men in their underwear, apparently. We're told by reports that DePappy was allegedly yelling, "Where's Nancy?" before police could intervene. Apparently, DePappy also wrested the hammer away and struck Pelosi in the head at least twice, which resulted in him being hospitalized with a fractured skull. It's horrible. But, oh, it gets weirder. DePappy, we now learned, is a well-known drug user, a nudist activist, who lives in a dilapidated old school bus with BLM and gay pride flags, and, wait for it, he's in the country illegally, having long overstayed his Canadian visa. We're also told that despite having a security system, despite having security cameras, despite having security in the neighborhood, that DePappy had easily broken into the house of one of the most powerful figures in all of the world's politics. But crime scene photos of the house show the broken glass was on the outside of the house, not the inside. Despite the fact this occurred in a crime-friendly sanctuary city in a crime-friendly sanctuary state, DePappy is also now being held without bail. Without bail! Never mind that criminals can walk free within minutes and don't even get arrested in San Francisco if they steal less than $1,000. So many questions. So many questions. Like, here's one. Who made the 911 call and what did they say? Does DePappy know Pelosi? Who is the unnamed person who opened the door for the police? Was this politically motivated? If so, doesn't it appear that DePappy is actually a leftist? And how is it that DePappy is being held without bail in a city in which that is almost unheard of? Well, see, the thing is, we may never know the answer to those questions and more because the left-wing media and elected Democrats have now circled the wagons, and that's what made me mad last night. We are being told now that the question is wrong, and obviously hateful politically motivated rhetoric. The liberal DA of San Francisco announced yesterday the 911 call will not be released. Even outlets like Politico, who initiated some of the early reports that I just cited, they're now stumbling all over themselves to change their own stories and demand that those who question be silenced. Silence! Something stinks in the story. And part of that stink is the amazing levels of hypocrisy. You see, in 2017, when Roy Moore was running for the U.S. Senate, an allegation of sexual misconduct arose that dated back like 40 years. Now, I don't care what you think about Roy Moore. Put that aside for a minute. Listen to the facts of what I'm about to tell you. 40 years prior, an allegation that has never been fully substantiated, arose about a candidate for office, Roy Moore. And it caused a complete media feeding frenzy. Now, Roy Moore is from Etowah County, where I'm from. And at that time, I was both the state senator for Etowah County and the Republican Party chairman for Etowah County as well. In short, every single day, I was getting bombarded with calls and emails and requests for interviews from outlets all over the nation. I finally had to tell my secretary there would be no more interviews. But the community was feeling it as well. I mean, reporters were literally walking the halls of the Gadsden Mall and standing out on the streets in downtown, literally stopping strangers asking if they knew anything or had any information. I was at a high school football game, and I had a reporter from the Washington Post come up and ask me for an interview at the football game. You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a reporter whose sole aim in life was to dig up some more unsubstantiated dirt. It got so bad that my secretary came in one day and said, "You are not going to believe what happened." I remember saying something like, "Uh-oh, what now?" Apparently, her husband, my secretary's husband, who is retired, was at home and answered a knock at their front door only to find a man he'd never seen before on his front stoop who identified himself as a reporter from some major news outlet. The man literally said that in talking to folks around town, he learned that my secretary's husband had been a lifeguard at the YMCA 40 years prior. He had tracked down his home address and cold called at their front door because allegedly Roy Moore used to swim at the YMCA, and the reporter wanted to know if her husband had any interesting information. He said no and shut the door in his face. So like I said, regardless of how you feel about Roy Moore, put that aside for a minute and just consider what we saw in 2017 regarding a bare allegation, 40 years old, against a political candidate compared to what we're seeing now in an actual event in which a crime took place at the home of the person who is in the line of succession to the presidency. In 2017, the Democrats had their true warm-up to the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation. And in 2022, they're using bully tactics to defend one of their own. It's not reasonable to think for a second that what took place with Roy Moore in Etowah County in 2017 was good reporting. It was not. It was sordid. It was tabloidish. But the idea of questioning is supposed to be at the heart of journalism. So while I don't believe they went about it ethically, I understand the motivation to go and get the next great scoop. But now we're told that questioning is off limits. Now we're told that to probe and to ask for basic details and for clarification and for a copy of the 911 call and the hows and the whys of the crime scene, all things that a good reporter always asks for. Not a chance. You're just making trouble. It's a stupid story with a weird fact pattern, and I suspect there's much more to it. But for now, all I can smell is the stink of media hypocrisy. And I know, because I've seen the other side. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you right now, my phone rang constantly. Text messages, emails, phone calls. Can we do an interview? Can you talk about this? How do you feel about Roy Moore? Will you endorse him? What are you going to do? Will you kick him out of the party? You're a party chairman. You're a state senator. What do you mean? What do you do? It was the stupidest batch of feeding frenzy I have ever seen. And yet now we can't even question, despite the fact that we have something real to look at. Hypocrisy. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's also the call-in line. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I got several texts already. Brian from Huntsville just texted in regarding my monologue. He says, Roy Moore, sigh. Rather like some kind of, like some school systems, too many people would rather tear a man down than grow themselves. Dirty laundry, Don Henley. he's quoting classic rock to me now. Paul from Athens says, when will we find out? Okay, never mind. I'm not going down that road, Paul. Couldn't do it. Can't you read yours, Paul? Talk about Pelosi and what might have been going on in the House. All right, Tracy from Athens says, strange going ons with the whole Pelosi incident. Why hide the info? Makes all the rumors that much more appealing. I agree. That's the thing. If you want to dispel the rumors, if the story is what you say it is, then just put it out there where it can't be argued with. But right now, one thing I didn't mention in my monologue is that apparently the 911 call, whoever called in, said his name, the perpetrator, his name's David DePappy, said, it's David, he's a friend. Okay, what's up? And by the way, if they're fighting over a hammer, how does somebody get to a phone to make the call? There was a third person in the house. That's what it appears. David from Huntsville says, very interesting that it happened to Paul Pelosi after his DUI. Are they trying to get some sympathy for him? Heck of a way to get sympathy. I don't know, David. That's a point, but more to come on this one, I guess. Daryl from Huntsville, and I'm not sure what he's talking about. He says, suggestions on how to push back other than avoid their content. And I'm guessing what he means is with regards to the media circling the wagons and sort of stifling the ability to, you know, ask questions and get more details. Yeah, we can avoid their content. We can seek it out from alternative sources. But I think part of it is just, you know, let them know. Send them emails. Send them letters to the editor. Do your job. Do your job. Or at the very least, say why you won't do your job. Let us know what the official statements are, and then tell us why you chose not to go past the official statements. Anyway, there's that. Chappie from Madison says, dude, I derailed at the point where you said both men were in their underwear. What? So, yeah. And then I got a really interesting text, totally off subject. It was is a text that started before the show, and it was from Alan in Killen, Alabama. Alan, just, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I'll just kind of paraphrase. Says he's got a good friend in the community of Lompoc, California, near Santa Barbara, and just talked about the fact that they are a part of a church that had to go through all the COVID shutdowns, had been a very viable, vibrant church community. They're down to about 75 people now. They can no longer continue to afford their building. They're having to put their church facility up for sale. And that they feel somewhat disheartened and discouraged by the fact that local and state government really kind of, you know, made their lives difficult. They used to come out of services on Sunday, and police would be out front to make sure they didn't, you know, stand around each other too close. It's just ridiculous. Just talks about the way, you know, the government sometimes just becomes overbearing. And, you know, we talked a lot about that yesterday, the pandemic amnesty thing. So, yeah, no. Paul from Athens just texted in again. Says, I read somewhere this guy has been seen going in and out of the house multiple times, also in the car when Pelosi was in the DUI wreck. I have not read that, Paul. If you got a source on that that's, you know, reliable, send it to me, man, because I have not seen that. Leanne from Huntsville on the text line says, can you elaborate on the diesel fuel crisis that's been rumored? It's not rumored. It's real. My understanding, Lee, and I don't have the details all in front of me, but I've got some over here on the side that I may get to in dipper number three, is that, there's a crisis. There's a shortage. Part of it's because multiple refineries around the nation typically do their annual maintenance. They do shutdowns in the fall. This year it's been exacerbated by the fact that there's been a supply chain shortage of that's downsized the refineries' capacities, and they're shut down now. And then there's the Biden administration's war on oil. That's hurt. Then there's the war in Ukraine, which I don't want to tout that too much because I think it's a red herring most of the time, although it does appear to be somewhat tied to that because it's changed the flow of oil and gas exports around the world. And then on top of that, you just got the fact that, you know, nothing seems to work right in Biden's economy. So, yeah, it's real. We're down to half of our reserve capacity right now, and there are certain states that have already issued red alerts, and that shipping could be affected by it. David from Huntsville wanted me to reread what I had yesterday from my wife, Charlene, had sent me a Twitter string. David, if I get to it later in the day, I sure will. I also posted it on my Twitter, man. You can go see it at Sen, S-E-N, Phil Williams. If you're on Twitter, go check me out, at Sen, Phil Williams. All right, I just spent the last whole segment there doing the text string. It didn't even look just all text
string. Not looking good for the triple dipper.
833-687-4448. That's the text line. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.